Okay. Now, this is a fun panel. These folks are living the lives they want, and they are doing interesting things. But make it short. John Perret is first.
All right. So when I live in the Riverside Neighborhood Association. That's on the other right near the National Center. As you probably know, the National Center is right next to a park called Riverside Park, and I live right on the other side. We're in an area called the Riverside Neighborhood Association. And I always thought it'd be interesting to get more involved in the association, so I frequently go to the association meetings. It's once a month. And I noticed that, some of the other folks have said it. It's just real important to get out there, to be involved, to network, to always be there. And so after all this time being here for about 12 years, about 2 years ago, we had a vacancy for the president of the Riverside Neighborhood Association, and just sort of being at the right place at the right time. And so there wasn't any immediate interest. I was interested. I volunteered to be the president and was then elected president of the association by the board of directors. And I've been doing that for about the last 18 months. It's quite an interesting job. Short on time, so I'll just give three very brief highlights. One of my first things was to go deal with this liquor store that put up illegal signs and go down to the testify in front of the Planning Commission about why they should do something about these signs. I've done a lot with the neighborhood trying to save the Banner Route, which is one of the four Charm City Circulator routes. It serves both the neighborhood and also the National Center. A lot of this work has overlapped with the National Center. It's caused me to get very involved in the Baltimore Links activity, which you just heard about in the resolution. I went to a number of meetings to try to get Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake to do more for the Banner Route. In fact, I went to three or four different meetings in a row, and finally an opportunity came up where she wanted to do a neighborhood event, and she said, well, I'll do it at your house. So the mayor came to my house. I always wondered if she'd really show up. It was a Sunday morning. I hadn't actually got up yet, and the phone rang, and it said, hi, this is Detective so-and-so. And I thought, oh, this is a good sign. I said, they said, the mayor's coming, and we're just doing a security check of your home. And I said, should I let you in? He said, well, right now we're doing the outside. I'm in the backyard. I said, well, I've got a fence. Do you need me to open it up? And he said, no, that wasn't going to be a problem, that he already was in the backyard. So anyway, it was a great event. The mayor did come. And the bottom line is get involved. You never know where things will lead. Thank you very much.
Okay. Nikki, are you busy? Or are you
I'm
there?
Here.
You're here. All right. Here is Nikki the actress. I think that's fascinating.
Good morning or early afternoon, Federation family. So really quickly, I also want to thank Sarah Babbler. She's been at the auction table helping me tally up all the numbers and things like that. So thank you, Sarah. You didn't have to spend your convention with me, but you chose to, so I appreciate that. So I need you guys to do me a really huge favor, okay? I need everyone to stand up, and if you don't feel like standing up, I just need you to clap along. All right? So, yes. So I left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. And I never lost 1 minute of sleep, worry about the way that things might have been. But big wheel keep on turning, proud Mary keep on burning. We're rolling, rolling, rolling on the river. We're rolling, rolling, rolling on the river. Get up, do, 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 do. Y'all are beautiful. Thank you. So I don't call myself an actress. I like to call myself a performer. But earlier this year, I started to feel a little, I don't know, getting stuck into the routine. So I would go to work, I would come home, you know, do a lot of the same things. And I mean, I know you're thinking, okay, a cane travel instructor teaching everybody to cross streets every day has got to be exciting. And it was, and it still is, but I just needed to try something different. I needed to push myself out of my comfort zone. And so, thanks to a colleague, Liam Lindsay, he recommended me to try out for a theater group known as the Johns Hopkins Unified Voices. And and so I had a lot of reservations in the beginning. I was really nervous. I had done theater in the past, but never in the way as a competent blind person, this confident and with this much skill. And so I had a lot of reservations. I was thinking, oh, you know, what is the director going to say when he sees this blind girl come in and audition for a play? What will the other actors and actresses think? Things of that nature. So after debating or going, you know, back and forth with myself, I decided to go and audition for a show called Heavy is the Rain. And so the audition went very, very well. I was really worried because usually I know with auditions they say, okay, we're going to give you a script and we're going to do a cold reading. But I let the director know ahead of time, hey, I'm blind, and is it possible to get the script or what we're going to read in alternative format? And so he said, oh, you don't have to worry. We're going to do some improv. So you're just going to come in and I'm going to give you a scenario and you'll go from there. And that's exactly what happened. And so I did the audition. It went really well. And about a week later, I got an email saying that I was selected to be in the show. So yet again, it was exciting, but Mr. Insecurity was coming, knocking at my door, shaking my confidence. It's like, okay, I got in the show, now what happens? Like, here I'm being put to the test. And so all these thoughts started running through my brain. How am I gonna navigate across the stage, you know, and not look awkward? How am I gonna, you know, be able to do blocking? How am I gonna know where to place myself on stage? How am I gonna access the script in an accessible format? All these different thoughts. And I had to kind of sit down with myself and think, okay, you have all these obstacles in front of you, but you have the skill and the confidence to navigate these things. And that's exactly what I did. So I communicated with the director. The director knew that I was blind and knew I needed my script in alternative format, and that's exactly what he did. He knew that I needed to use my cane because that's my tool to get around, and I was able to use my cane on stage. And all of the actors and actresses were really great. I'm not going to lie, at first, during the first couple of rehearsals, it was really awkward because they were getting to know me, I was getting to know them, but I didn't look at it as a blindness thing. I looked at it as we were all new to this and we were all getting to know each other. And after several rehearsals, late nights, lunches, table readings, it was finally opening night, and the thing that I realized is that we have become a big family. The relationships that we build and all of the talent that I got to really see that's here in Baltimore was really great. And so opening night, opening weekend, we performed four shows for, I think, over about 300 people. Some of you guys attended that are out here, my BISM family. My Baltimore family, yes, and it was really, really great. And so, oh, I forgot to mention the role that I got. It wasn't a speaking role. It was just a singing role, but it was at the very end of the play, so kind of like to end the play, like the finale, and that was really great. And I just want to kind of talk about some of the alternative techniques that I used on stage. So one of the things that you do at the end of a show is a curtain call. And this is when the actors and actresses run out on stage and they take a bow and they kind of are introducing themselves to the audience. And so one of the things was, okay, how am I going to do this and how am I going to know when to bow? And so what we did was we the angels, that's who one of the characters that I played, we ran out on stage, and so the person who bowed before me would tap my side, and that's when I knew to bow. So that was a way that they worked with me to make sure that I was involved, and it was very inclusive. So I guess to wrap it all up, I feel like we as blind people need to be sure that we take up space. We are an integral part of our communities, and being involved in our communities is very important. You know, I work in a field where I'm constantly pushing my students out of their comfort zone. I'm saying, get out, do something new, get out of your box. That's the way you're going to grow. But I often forget that me as an instructor, I have to do the same thing to grow. I have to push myself out of my own comfort zone. So I'll say this. The next time that you're thinking about auditioning for a play or signing up for a dance class or even going out to sing karaoke with your friends, just remember, life is not a dress rehearsal. The curtain is on and you're always up on stage. So whatever you choose to do, just give it your best shot. Thank you.
One more door prize. Should I do it now?
All righty. Howdy, y'all. It's hard to follow Nikki Jackson.
Hold on 1 second. Annette Gordon, your transportation is there. I hope you're going toward it. Is Annette in the room?
But I had the privilege of participating at the 2016 Democratic National Convention this July because I'm a good Republican. that was a very unique experience. And throughout the week, the words that I read in the first speech that I ever read with regards to Federation philosophy, The Nature of Independence by Dr. Kenneth Jernigan, resonated in my mind the whole week, because there was times where I moved around with my cane, I went through more Secret Service searches than I have ever cared to imagine in my life. And let me tell you, when you go through Secret Service searches, they get to know you quite well. and one of the most memorable experiences for me is that President Obama was getting ready to speak. And what they don't show you on TV is that the delegates that are on the floor are on the floor. They're expected to be in their seats an hour before the convention starts till an hour after the convention finishes. So that's from 3 p.m. till about midnight or 12:30 every day. The night that the president spoke, there was a hard perimeter, which means that we couldn't leave our seats without Secret Service detail from 7 p.m. till the president left the building. And I leaned over to pick up my cane because it was about to fall under the row in front of me. And three Secret Service agents jumped out and they're like, "Sir, sir, sit down, sit down." And I was like, "It's just a cane." But I got my own private Secret Service detail to escort me to the restroom later on that night. So what I'm telling you is that when I was going through this process, and thanks to the encouragement of President Rick Abono and John Pray and other folks that I highly respect and serve as mentors to me in our organization, I applied to be a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. And if you want to learn more about that, please talk to me about that. It's a very unique experience. And I met a couple other blind people in that process. But the power that we have as an organization, the positive philosophy that we emulate by the way we carry ourselves, is something that resonates with people. So it doesn't matter what you're interested in. If you are passionate about something, pursue that passion and know that you are not alone. You have a family of 50,000 members all over the country that are always in your corner. Thank you.